Yes, congratulations are certainly in order this month. Firstly, my thanks to Ian Griffin for recording that special opening to the show by way of introducing the background to it, that of 150 Not Out. Last month was the 100th edition of Organ First Radio, and I'm going to be celebrating it alongside of Howard Beaumont, who's celebrating 50 years of organ playing. So, hence, 150 Not Out. Now, Organ First Radio didn't commence with that title. Back in December 2005, it was called Organ Tracks and was connected with two very keen organ enthusiasts who were the original instigators and owners of the Organ Facts web pages, namely Alan and Margaret Faulkner. When Margaret passed away, the programme continued to be broadcast, but this time via the MSS web pages, where it's remained to this day. In 2007, the programme name and format was changed to Organ First Radio, and in this month's programme, I'll no doubt hark back to the series from time to time. But for the present, I put some questions to Howard Beaumont, who I had the pleasure of working with back in the early 80s at the original Pontins AOE Organ Festivals up at Morecambe in Lancashire. I wanted to know if Howard, like many of today's organists, had any early thoughts of playing the organ, and if so, what were they?
Well, yes, Alan, I've always wanted to play the organ. Even when I was a kid, we went to chapel and listened to the organist there playing the organ. It was a pipe organ, and not a very big one, but it was such a wonderful sound. And I immediately latched onto it, and I really wanted to play that. Although I was having piano lessons at the time, my mother and father, they encouraged me. I mean, they didn't have a lot of money. And my grandfather even bought the piano, which was a second-hand one, for £5 in those days. So, yes, I always wanted to play the organ. And it wasn't until really later on, when I got to 12, 13, that I had organ lessons from a very good teacher, Sidney Pickles, in Halifax. Sidney was responsible for the Lilac series of piano arrangements of classical music, and they were marketed by Banks Music in Leeds. And it was after that I went on to work, first of all, in a furniture store, because I didn't think music would be my vocation in life. It turned out it was, but I started working in a furniture store, displaying the windows with all the furniture and the carpets, etc. And I got fed up of that after 6 months. And I used to go down to a music shop called Bradley's Music in Halifax, and they just started importing the Lowry organ. And would you believe it was Jerry Allen that came and did a show for us in the shop, and it was just like a light bulb going on. I thought, this is it, I've got to do this, what Jerry was doing. And me and Jerry, we hit a friendship after that. He helped me so much, and he was a great performer and a wonderful, just a wonderful guy, and sadly missed.
Thank you.
And as Howard says, the late, great, sadly missed Gerry Allen with Deed I Do.
Well, long after I'd left the music shop, I went on the road with a drummer called Bob Wilson, and he was a member of the Maple Leaf Four harmony group that came over to this country just after the war. And in the 60s, he was doing like a cabaret act. He was a very good vocalist, of course, but he also played the drums. And we teamed up together and went out on the road, the big wide road. And we went all over the country in cabaret clubs and nightclubs and things like that. And we did a summer season down in the Isle of Sheppey. And then we did a summer season over in Cornwall, and it was a great experience to really get to know how to go on stage and how to perform and things like that. But then I left him and I went to work on the cruise liners. I got a job playing the organ on a cruise liner. It was Shandris Lines, and the ship was called the Americanis. And we cruised from New York to the Caribbean. And, of course, that was a great experience. But after a while, you get fed up of being on the ship. And when I came back, the agent who booked me said, you're a good player, Howard. I said, well, thanks very much. She says, would you like to make a recording? And I said, oh, yes, I would. So it was all arranged, and we went down to London, and we did this recording in the Piccadilly Studios, just off Piccadilly. And I remember walking in there, and there was a band waiting to record something in another studio. And it turns out the band was the Four Tops. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, we went in and did this recording, and I was playing with a band. We had a guitarist, we had a drummer, we had also a flute player, a cum sax player. And so that came out in 1973, just after I'd come back from the ships. And it was called Howard Beaumont Plays the Hammond M100, a very original title.
Rockin' Robin, played there by Howard Beaumont, a track taken from his very first LP, Howard Beaumont Plays the Hammond M100. Referring back to the very first Organ Tracks programme in December 2005, the lineup of artists included Simon Gledhill, Robert Wolfe, Ray Willits, Lenny D, Jackie Davies, Paul Roberts, Bob Ralston, Leroy Lewis and Klaus Wunderlich, which in a roundabout way brings me to some exciting news which I'll tell you about later today. In the meantime, let's enjoy the sounds of the magnificent 36-rank Wurlitzer that still remains to this day, and in playable condition, I might add, in the Fox Theatre in Detroit. In that first Organ Tracks programme, the opener to the show was Simon Gledhill playing the King Kong March, and from that same CD, here he is once again with that popular number, It's Just One of Those Things. Now, the very first pipe organ recording I obtained of Howard Beaumont, my guest in today's programme, was the one that he made at the Compton Organ in the Odeon, Sunderland.
Funny that I moved up to the northeast really for work, because there was a lot of work up there at the time in the early 70s, and I was playing in social clubs and nightclubs and doing all sorts of ridiculous things, but I always had this interest in the theatre organ. It stemmed really from when I went to America, but I'll tell you that later. And I went down to the Odeon, Sunderland, where this Compton hadn't been played for years, and I met John Dean, a friend of mine, who used to go in there and play it, sort of just for his own amazement, once a week. And I tried it and I thought, oh, it's lovely, this. And we got together and formed the Sunderland Odeon Organ Society. And we had words with Rank Organisation, who at the time they were thinking of twinning the cinema or even tripling it. And that's what they did eventually. So we worked on the organ. We had a band of helpers going down every Sunday and doing what we could to bring the organ back to life. And we did that. And then we invited Reginald Dixon to come and give the opening concert. And that's when I really got to know Reginald Dixon very well. And once again, he was another character in the organ world that really encouraged me to press forward with what I could do. And so I did this recording after we had the concert with Reg. I mean, he brought 2,000 people to see him. It was just amazing. So I thought, well, now the organ is in good condition, we ought to record it. So that's what I did. I got a local man to go in and record it. I sent the recording off to Robin Richmond for the Organist Entertains, thinking, oh, I'm sure Robin will play this, but he didn't. But I must thank him, because he did play plenty of tracks after that. So I ended up with this recording and nowhere to sell it or anything. So I went over to De Roy, and Derek Marsh was producing the De Roy theatre organ recordings, and I'd heard one or two that he'd done, and they were really good. So I thought, well, I'll give it a chance. And he said yes when he heard it. And so that's how that came about. It came out on his label. When I played at the Odeon, I had a signature tune which was called I Want to Be Happy. So I've always wanted to be happy, Alan, as you do. So let's have that track.
Howard mentioned working in the United States, so I asked him how that all came about.
Yes, going to the USA was a great thrill, really. It was unknown territory, obviously, going on the cruise liners. And I played a Hammond organ in the bar. It was a circular bar, and it was laid out a bit like a piano bar in the States, where they have a grand piano, and the player plays requests as they all sit around the piano. It was a similar sort of setup, but with a Hammond organ. When we docked in New York, I made a beeline for Radio City Music Hall, where they had the most fantastic four manual 55 rank Wurlitzer, a sound you had to be there to appreciate. It was just incredible. And Ray Bohr became a friend at the time, when I used to go every week. I used to go, you know, religiously to hear Ray Bohr and Dick Liebert playing the organ, and there was another guy called Jack Ward. They're all very good organists, and I used to sit right near the front, near the console.
Mr. Ray Bohr!
after they'd finished playing, then out of nowhere was this 55-piece orchestra just rose up in front of you. And they pushed it right to the back of the stage. And then the Rockettes, the American answer to Tiller Girls, came on doing the high kicks. And after that, you saw the latest movie. So you were in just about all day. You went in daylight and came out when it was dark. And all for about $4. It was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And also, I went to visit the various electronic organ shops, being myself interested in doing what Jerry Allen did. I thought, well, here's a chance. I'll go and see how the scene is in America. And I used to go to the Baldwin shop. And Baldwin Piano and Organs was a massive company in America at the time. And they had a equally very impressive showroom. And I went in there, introduced myself, sat down and played. And they said, gee, man, do you want a job? And I said, I'd love to work for you, you know. But the problem was you couldn't get a work permit. So I never made it to the States that way. And so when I came back, obviously I wanted to pursue what I'd done and work for the various manufacturers. And after that, I met Glenn Derringer, who played for Wurlitzer, and I joined Wurlitzer. And it goes on, all these manufacturers I've worked for as a demonstrator. And of course, we've produced recordings with each instrument as I've gone along.
Back then, organ recordings were enjoying pretty good sales figures, and there was one company in Birmingham, Grosvenor Records, owned and run by John and Gene Taylor, who it could be said were the specialists in that genre.
Yes, Alan, organ recordings were a must, really, to promote the instruments. And we used to do most of them at Grosvenor Studios, and John and Gene Taylor did a wonderful job with a great sound that they used to produce from the organs in the recordings. They also had two very talented sons, Christopher and Richard, who have gone to great things in the music industry at the moment. And I can't remember how many I recorded. It must be loads of them. I think the first one was on a Baldwin. It was on the Baldwin Fanfare model. I remember that. And it had a bit of a gimmick where you touched a metal bar and it gave you all sorts of arpeggios and runs based on the chords you were playing with the left hand. It was very clever. And of course, it sold loads of organs. Thank you. John, in his spare time, could play the piano very well, and it was his idea that we got together and did some recordings called As Time Goes By, featuring the piano and the organ. It's a lovely combination, and we played all the well-known songs from way back when, and we did a full series, about six LPs of this.
Now, apart from the next recording, all the others that Howard made feature him on electronic organ. But back in 1999, Grosvenor Recordings did record a few tracks which feature Howard on theatre pipe organ. And as we've only heard him on pipes once so far in the show, let's rectify that now with the sounds of the Ossett Town Hall Compton Christie organ, and joining him will be John and Christopher Taylor on piano and drums respectively. Now, as Howard pointed out, John and Jean Taylor have been retired for a few years now, and John, I'm told, is still pretty active in his 90s. What may not be known is that he was very much connected with creating the pioneering sound produced by Birmingham-born organist Harry Farmer, who also went under the name of Chris Hamilton. In the USA, there was an artist by the name of Les Paul who developed his very own popular multi-tracked recordings, and Harry Farmer and John Taylor figured out what could be done on guitar could also be done with a Hammond organ, and together they produced a whole number of recordings for the Decca label. Here's one of them. Nola, played by Chris Hamilton on his multi-Hammond organs. Now, I'm pretty sure the first time I worked with Howard was for the Hammond 50th anniversary show, which we staged at Morecambe.
Oh yes, I well remember that night. And the organ festivals at Morecambe, they were incredible. How many people used to attend in those days? 1,500 many times. They were good days for home organ enthusiasts, being able to see all the best players and try the latest instruments. The Hammond 50th night was extra special night with me playing with my heroes, Jerry Allen, Keith Beckenham, plus a German organist. I can't remember his name, I wish I could. The old grey cells aren't working like they used to. And, of course, as I said earlier, Jerry was the real reason for me coming into this business. And I worked for many manufacturers in those years. I worked for Hornby Skews, who was a distributor from Leeds, John Hornby Skews, and he used to bring in very inexpensive Italian organs, eco organs, and that was the first one I actually demonstrated, and then I moved on to Baldwin.
Well, Howard did indeed suffer a memory loss in his recollection of that event, because the German organist he couldn't recall was actually our own George Blackmore, and I have the photo to prove it. Another organist who was featured in the first show back in 2005 was Leroy Lewis, but as that was a Christmas edition, I naturally included a track from his Christmas LP. So this time, it's a fun arrangement of Bye Bye Blues, played on the 16-rank Wurlitzer that Leroy helped to install in the New Jersey Surf City Hotel Lounge back in the 60s. Now, I happen to know that Howard has another favourite organist, sadly no longer with us, but who, in addition to Jerry Allen, influenced his playing and love of the Hammond organ. That organist was none other than Lenny D, and again, an organist who I featured in the very first show. Nobody's Sweetheart Now, the unmistakable sound of Lenny D, who my wife and I saw perform in his Florida nightclub quite a number of years ago. What an experience to see that man play as well as work the audience till your sides ached with laughter. Now, it can in no way be compared with a nightclub, but Howard Beaumont has his own residency, so to speak.
Yes, after travelling on the road for so many years, I was in need of a rest, and it was really when I was doing a show for a dealer in Scarborough. He arranged to do a show at the spa, and I played this show, and the manager of the spa came up and said, I've never heard any sounds like that coming out of an organ before. would you be interested in doing a summer season? So I said, well, yes, I would actually, because I could do with a rest. And I sold my house in Bradford and moved over to Scarborough, and I joined the corporation. My first year wasn't at the Spa, though, although that was where I wanted to play. Frieda Hall was still there. My first job was playing in Pisone Park, where you had to row yourself out to a bandstand in the middle of the lake and perform, and also do the commentary for the naval warfare, miniature warfare battles, which have been running since the 20s, and it's still running today. And then the following year, I transferred down to the Spa and started playing in the Sun Court and also playing for coffee dancers in the mornings. And I've really enjoyed, you know, my time there. I've just done 28 seasons working in Scarborough, and it's been a wonderful time. Met my new lady wife, Eileen, and I'm really happy there. It's like a dream come true. It's not often it happens, but I do enjoy playing with other musicians. I still have got one of the original Hammond tone wheel organs, and gives me great pleasure just to sit and play without programming sounds and registrations. You just pull a few drawbars out and away you go. I invited some musicians to my home in Scarborough, and we recorded an album. And this was Easy on the Ear jazz music, swing music, if you like. It was very well received, especially by radio programmes like yourselves and The Organist Entertains. I was invited to play at The Organist Entertains 40th anniversary programme from Blackpool Tower. That was in 2009. And together with my trio, Gary Gilliatt on guitar, Lee Adams on percussion, and I was playing the then-new Hammond B3. It was a new version of the old B3, but a digital copy, if you like. And it was a great atmosphere playing in the tower with that trio. I mean, these Hammond organs have stood the test of time. A lot of manufacturers have come and gone, but the Hammond sound is still there. And there's so many of today's manufacturers trying to recreate the Hammond sound. So, yes, you could say I'm a convert of the Hammond.
Thank you.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. And that was Howard Beaumont and his trio with a tune that you may remember as being the theme tune for the Barry Norman television film series. So, having done two recordings with his trio, I was keen to know from Howard if there were any other new recordings in the offing.
Yes, Alan, I've decided to do another one. It's a new album featuring my present collection of organs, which are numerous. I've got a Roland Atelier AT-80SL, it's a nice sound, and plus my trusty Hammond, of course, the A100 with a Leslie speaker, and one or two tracks on a digital Roland piano. So it's a mixture, really, and it'll be coming out very soon.
Now, talking of new recordings, for the best part of 2 years now, I've been trying to interest a number of UK record labels into releasing some more recordings of Klaus Wunderlich, because due to Bell Music in Germany having ceased trading, the supply of compilations, which they've been issuing for a number of years now, has come to an end. Well, the good news is that an agreement has been reached with a UK label, and I hope to be able to release the details next month. In the meantime, turning back the clock again to the very first edition of Organ First Radio, when Klaus Wunderlich was included in it, let's enjoy this track from his double album Around the World, released in 1970.
Through my life I've been travelling all over the place, and it's nice to go abroad occasionally and do concerts in other countries. And I've been to Holland several times and heard about this magic organ, but I mean, I've got the recordings, and Reginald Dixon went over and played it, and Harry Stoneham, and of course Cor Stein. And I was doing the concert on a theatre organ which this gentleman over there, who's got a factory, built this organ into his canteen. And Jap Kesward and his wife, Audrey, were there. And I was fascinated to meet them. And they invited me to their home. So we went along, and it was great to see this marvel that was started in the 1960s by this electronics engineer, Jap. And it's just incredible. And once you've sorted out where the stops are and what they mean, I remember when Reginald Dixon went, he couldn't understand the Dutch language, so they used to put little stickers on the stops so he knew which was a flute and which was a string, etc. Had a lovely time there, wonderful hospitality the Dutch give you, and it was recorded by somebody with his camera, and I think it's been on YouTube, so if you want to see me playing it, I'm playing to my wife Eileen on the piece called The Rose, which is very dear to us because that's the one we got married to.
And in fact, that clip of Howard at the unique magic organ is indeed on YouTube. But as we draw to the end of this special programme, which Howard and I have shared in order to notch up 150 not out, let's hear Howard on the theatre organ again. The tune is the same one he plays on the video, but this time it's the Wurlitzer in Victoria Hall in Saltaire.
Thank you.
I think the organ world will continue. It won't die out, as some would argue. There is still really no substitute for playing music with one's hands and feet simultaneously. I really do believe when everyone is tired of single keyboards and want to learn how to play the organ, we'll see it returning to the must-do list. A new avenue has been the introduction of the virtual organ. You can download through your computer any organ you wish to play, and using a MIDI console. I think this sort of technology will develop, and in years to come I can see organists going around the country with a virtual organ and doing what we've been doing for the last 50 years, entertaining the public. And I think people need to be entertained. It's something unique to go and see a live performance. There's no substitute. And so, yes, we hear of the organ club scene. It's not doing very well at the moment. I think it needs a new direction, basically, and even doing concerts during the day, because, let's face it, the people that go to these clubs, they're all retired, so it really doesn't matter what time of day they go. So I think, why not try doing concerts in the afternoons or lunchtimes? I know in Scarborough, the lunchtime concerts that other musicians, not organists, but other musicians do, are very popular, and they fill the venue. So I think it needs a new direction, but the organ will not die.
And with those views from Howard Beaumont, we come to the end of this edition of Organ First Radio. I certainly hope you'll continue listening to the show each month, and most certainly Howard hopes to meet many of you at his concerts or even again at Scarborough this year. Well, the programme commenced with congratulations, and so what better way to end than with a special track which John Kiffin recorded for the show on his Versi organ. This is Alan Ashton saying bye for now, and here's to the next time.
You've been listening to Organ First Radio, a Penalador production presented by Alan Ashton with technical direction by Ian King.